My name is Ann Ferguson. I'd like to commend the panel for the importance of bringing up the historical context in which we do theory and practice. On the other hand, I think it's evidently clear from the response of the audience, and it's my response, that the imbalance on the panel, the failure to have someone who is involved in the Women Against Pornography movement, was a serious mistake. I think that there's what it seems to suggest is that Women Against Pornography can't also have a historical analysis of how their theory develops. It suggests a black and white whitening of the issues. I'm not suggesting that the panelists involved on the panel did this intentionally, but I think this is, in fact, the effect. I would like to suggest that putting into a context the labels of anti-sexuality and presumably the alternative tendency is anti-prudery is polarizing the debate before we've got the context to really understand how we can deal with these issues. That as a matter of fact, if we want to really advance an understanding of feminist theory in our historical context, we need an understanding of what sexuality is. We need an understanding of whether it's an exchange of sexual pleasures, some kind of contract theory, or whether it's a constant recreation of some kind of gender power relations within a essential interaction framework. And nobody has addressed this issue, and it seems to me that if we're going to talk about some of the advantages that are presented by the radical feminist analysis who emphasize the patriarchal institution of pornography, et cetera, and the clues within a repressed women's culturally constructed sexuality of a liberatory mode, we need to do that. We need to focus on what are our theories, our underlying theories of sexuality itself, rather than simply suggesting the equally important, it seems to me, aspects of the anti-prudery tendency, namely the liberating possibilities of playful role reversal, etc.
Thank you.
I'd like to say something in response to this.
I don't think I
could,
can. But
could people try to not move around for a couple more minutes till we conclude? And I also think Carol has some announcements she has to make. I actually, speaking completely individually, I agree with a number of the criticisms that Anne just made. And I also think that where we need to move towards is a more complex understanding of this, not a further polarization. The problem that I think that most people in this room would recognize, if you think critically about it at all, is that it would be very hard at this point to figure out how you could have a discussion that represented both sides, that actually encouraged greater flexibility and complexity of thought rather than greater polarization. And I think it is possible. I'm not sure. I was not a part of the committee. I do not live in New York. But I think it is possible that at this historical moment, we communicate better by having one side present its views at one set of programs and writings and the other side present its views separately. In other words, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that had both sides, so to speak, been represented here, that we would have come away with more enlightenment. We might have just come away with more explosiveness. So I would just like to say that while I think there's merit to that criticism, I also think that there is some merit to the way in which this thing was organized, and people should think about it seriously. How would you organize any kind of event, whether a written event or a public thing, in such a way that forces people to think and not to harden their positions, to name-call, to label, and to fight in that kind of not very thoughtful way. Yeah.